Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text 49. Sarvesham api bhutanam Harir Atmeshvara Priyaha Bhutair Mahad Bhisva Kritai Kritanam Jiva Sangitaha Sarvesham Api Bhutanam Harir Atmeshvara Priyaha Bhutar Mahad Bhisva Kritai Kritanam Jiva Sangitaha Sarvesham Api Bhutanam Harir Atmeshvara Priyaha Bhutar Mahad Bhisva Kritai Kritanam Jiva Sangitaha Matajis. Sarvesham api bhutanam Harir Atmeshvara Priya Bhutai Mahad Bhisva Kritai Sarvesham of all api certainly, Bhutanam, living entities, Hari, the Lord, who mitigates all the miseries of the living entity, Atma, the original source of life. Ishvaraha, the complete controller. Priyaha, the dear. Bhutahai, by the separated energies. The five material elements. Mahadbihi, emanating from the total material energy. The Mahat Tattva. Svakritai, which are manifested by himself. Kritanam, created. Jiva Sangitaha, who is also known as the living entity, since the living entities are expansions of his marginal energy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear and he is the supreme controller. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested by his different energies, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the marginal energy. He is the original source of all living entities in the material world, and he is situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul. Although the living entity is the cause of his various types of bodies, the body is given by material nature according to the order of the Lord. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe junatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra ridhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. From Bhagavad Gita 1861. The body is just like a machine, a car, in which the living entity is given a chance to sit and move according to his desire. The Lord is the original cause of the material body and the soul, which is expanded by his marginal energy. The Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of all living entities. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advised his class friends, the sons of the demons, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead again. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshut Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadveta Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for allowing me to serve all of you today. I pray to the senior devotees that I can I can present the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta according to Srila Prabhupada's desires and presentation. So Sri Prahlad Maharaj is continuing his teachings to his classmate demons, the sons of the demons, of what he learned in the womb from Narada Muni. And so he's been speaking very much about how this world is temporary and the soul is to re-engage in the devotional service of the Lord, to re-establish his relationship with the Lord. And in today's verse, he's specifically talking about how the living entity, the soul, and the material body are coming from the marginal energy. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks on the three principal energies of the Supreme Lord. The material energy, the spiritual energy, and the marginal energy. So Krishna actually speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4, Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu Kaman Mo Budhir Evacha Ahankaram Ityame Bhina Prakirtir Ashtadha. That the material energy, consisting of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these are his separated material energies. And beyond that, apareyam itastvanyam, jiva prakritim, the jiva is the superior energy. That's yayedham daryate jagat, exploiting the earth, water, fire, air, ether. So these energies are very important for us to understand. Because here, it's stating that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested by his different energies. So we can actually see Krishna through his energies. In the material nature, which is also known as Bahiranga Shakti, it's sprung out of the desire of the living entity to enjoy separately from Krishna. And the Lord expands himself to have a relationship with the material world. As we know, the Lord expands as the Purusha avatars. Mahavishnu creates the millions of universes. And he injects the living entities by his glance into the Mahatattva, to the material world. And then Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands as the supersoul of each universe. He lies in the Garbhadaka ocean, and out of his navel sprouts the lotus of which Brahma sits upon, in which he creates the material world, which he creates the 14 planetary systems. And then the Shirodakshay Vishnu, he expands as the supersoul of every individual living entity. So this is Srila Prabhupada talking about how Krishna is the original source of all living entities in the material world, and he is situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul. So this is how the Lord creates and injects the living entities into the material universe. And the marginal potency is known as the Tatastha Shakti. Tata literally means, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where water and land meet, the imaginary line. And so it's called the marginal energy because it's said that the living entity is in between the spiritual world and the material world. But we should understand that we are never actually in between. You're either in Maya or you're in Krishna consciousness. There is no actual in between. But the living entity has free will, and so we choose which energy we want to be under the control of. And the Antaranga Shakti, or the spiritual energy, is manifested to create the spiritual world under the Sandhini Shakti, of which Balaram is the personification. The Samvit Shakti, or Yogamaya, creates the different relationships and the knowledge that the different living entities have with Krishna. And the Hiladini Shakti, personified by Srimati Radharani, is the Lord's pleasure potency. It's stated here that the living entity is the cause of his various types of bodies through karma. The living entities, they accrue different types of karma, good karma, bad karma, in this material world, and therefore they get bodies according to their karma. And the particular body that they are given is given by material nature according to the order of the Lord. So in the material world, these three aspects of the Antaranga Shakti, the spiritual energy, are perverted. So the Sandini Shakti, which from reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, we understand the Sandini Shakti is responsible for all the forms of the Lord, the associates, the land. And the Samvit Shakti is the knowledge, and Hiladini Shakti is the pleasure potency. So in the material world, the same Sandini Shakti is perverted and gives these material bodies and makes the 14 planetary systems. And the Samvit Shakti gives avidya, gives gross knowledge. And Hiladini Shakti is perverted into gross sense gratification or misdirecting the pleasure. So why? This is all under Sambandha Gyan. And it's very important for all of us to really understand Sambandha Gyan. Because if you don't understand Sambandha Gyan, then you can't properly progress in devotional life. This is our foundation. Everybody is wondering who we are, where are we coming from, what is our relationship with the Supreme. So here, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, is giving us all of our answers to all of our questions. He's making it very clear for us. And by studying his books, we can build a very, very firm foundation of which then we can later progress to Abhideya Gyan. So Abhideya means you have the relationship, you understand the basics, so how do you properly engage in devotional service? And then by properly understanding Abhideya and performing devotional service, then we can understand Prayojana Tattva. So the Prabhupada is following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and waking us up as Prahlad Maharaj is waking up his classmates. There's a pastime of Srila Prabhupada in New York. It was the winter. And he was going for a morning walk. And one devotee saw that the whole morning Srila Prabhupada would take his cane and he would go over to a curb where there was ice or a little bit of ice. And he would take his cane and he would crack the ice and he would break it up. And the devotee thought, okay, maybe Prabhupada's just doing that. And he did it again. And the devotee was thinking, why is Prabhupada doing this? Why is he breaking the ice like that? And so he finally asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, why are you breaking the ice? And Srila Prabhupada explained that the water is in its unnatural state. And so I'm returning it to its natural state of water. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has come to do. He's come to bring us back into our natural state of loving Krishna. And we can easily get sucked into Maya's trap, as Sriman Amala Bhaktaji was nicely speaking yesterday about the pitfalls that we can fall into. And we can learn so many shlokas. We can learn all about these different energies. We can learn so much about Krishna. But that has to be backed up with integrity and humility. And it has to be backed up with devotional service. Otherwise, there's so many people out there who know Bhagavad Gita by heart. So many people who are performing so many rituals under the Vedas, and they're not attaining love of God. They're practicing Sankhya philosophy. They can easily tell you that you're not this body, that you're spirit soul. They can even talk about Vishnu and his Purusha avatars. And even as devotees, we can become puffed up with this knowledge. We can become proud and think we're better than others. Oh, look, this devotee, he doesn't know so many shlokas, but I know more than him. Just see how better I am than him. Just see, I know more. Just see, I can sing very nicely, and so my bhakti is better than this other devotee who can't sing properly. This person can play mridanga better than me, or, you know, so many things we can really get trapped by our false ego, by the mind. And so there's a very nice pastime in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the morning time, there's the pastime of the Gopi Vastra Harana Lila, where Krishna steals the garments of the gopis. So that happened in the early morning time, and Krishna was with his friends. So after that pastime, all of the cowherd boys that were with Krishna, they were very hungry. And they addressed Krishna and Balaram. Krishna, Balaram, you're the destroyers of all the demons. You punish the wicked. But we're so hungry. We missed breakfast. Please give us some food. So Krishna, obviously this is all directed by his yogamaya potency to perform a very special pastime. The devotees aren't bothered by hunger or the material body, but to speak of the eternal associates of the Lord, who are the topmost yogis. But Krishna wanted to be merciful unto the wives of the yagya brahmanas, yagic brahmins. So Krishna said, there's a place nearby where the brahmins' houses, and they're performing yagyas. So you can go ask them for some charity. Go ask them for food. But don't say my name. They can't even chant my name. They're not really even Vaishnavs. But ask for under Balaram's name, because he's a Kshatriya. He's higher than me. So go ask them if they'll give you some charity. So the boys, they went to the house, and they saw the Brahmins engaged in their yagya. And they went up very politely. They paid their obeisances, and they said, oh, protectors of religious principles. Oh, great souls. I think Prabhupada in Krishna book even says, oh, earthly gods. I think they say like that, earthly gods. You know, please, we're so hungry. Krishna and Balaram are just near, and they're so hungry. So we've come to beg you for some charity. And the yagya brahmins, they just continued chanting their mantras and performing their rituals. And the boys, they started preaching to them. You know, you're doing the yagya, and that the yagya is meant for Vishnu. Vishnu, Krishna, he's right here. He's so hungry. Please feed him. The Brahmins were so proud of their Brahminical duties. They were so proud that they didn't even pay them any attention. They didn't say yes or no. They just ignored them. And it's very hurtful if you're ignored. You know, you can deal with somebody who's rough with you, but if you're ignored, it goes a little deeper. You feel very hurt. So the boys, they returned to Krishna and Balaram. They said what had happened, and Krishna said, Krishna laughed. Krishna laughed when he heard what the yagya brahmins did, because Krishna showed that you shouldn't be angry toward Brahmins. Even if they do something wrong, you shouldn't be angry toward them. So he laughed. And Krishna said, okay, go to their homes where their wives are. Their wives are my devotees, and they've been wanting to engage in my service for some time. They want to see me. So please go and ask them. So the boys, they went, they paid their obeisances to the wives. And the women were very nicely ornamented. They were very beautiful. And they said, Krishna and Balaram are just near, and they're so hungry. And immediately, as they heard the names of Krishna and Balaram, they immediately started filling up pots with food. They didn't have to be converted. They didn't have to be preached to about devotional service. They were doing it on a spontaneous platform. And so they were singing about Krishna's pastimes. They were so in love with Krishna. They had heard about him so much, but they've never seen him. So they followed the boys to a clearing where Krishna was with the other cowherd boys. And they saw Krishna in his blackish complexion. He was wearing a wildflower garland, Vaijayanti garland. His garments were yellow, beautiful like molten gold. And Krishna, he's such a, you know, when you're in Krishna consciousness and you really want a visual of Krishna, he's just the supreme at everything he does. So they see him, and he has one hand on a friend, and he's twirling a lotus flower. You can just imagine Krishna so beautiful and just playing with a little lotus flower while he has his hand on a cowherd boy's friend. And so Krishna actually speaks to them saying, how may I serve you? I'm here to serve you. And the wives, they immediately lay down all of the prasadam and they start glorifying Krishna. And after some time, Krishna said, okay, you can return to your husbands. Because actually, even before, they had tried to go and see Krishna, and their husbands had actually stopped them. Their other relatives had actually stopped them. But this time, they just went. There was no obstruction that could keep them. So Krishna said, okay, now it's time for you to return to your husbands. They need your help in performing the yajnas, so you can go and and serve them. And they said, why are you speaking like this? How can you, these words are not befitting you. How can we go back? Now they're going to reject us because we've come and seen you. And Krishna reassured them that, no, you'll go back and it'll be okay. They'll accept you back because you've pleased me, so you've pleased everyone. And if we please Krishna, then we please all the living entities, all the demigods. They're pleased. So they went back to where their husbands were, and their husbands were happy that their wives were back, and they continued doing their yajnas. And then they started regretting. They started regretting their sinful activity and started thinking of how simple are these women? They're not performing any, you know, they're not taking initiation. They're just simple women. But we're supposed to be the leaders of the society, and we have done sinful activity. And Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna book, he says that they actually start exclamating how to hell with our being born Brahmins, to hell with our learning all the Vedic literatures, to hell with our performing great sacrifices and observing all the rules and regulations, to hell with our family, to hell with our expert service in performing the rituals exactly according to the description of the scriptures, to hell with it all, for we have not developed love, transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the speculation of the mind, body, and senses. So this shows that we can be Brahmins to the nth degree. We can be super Brahminical. We can learn the Vedic literatures. We can learn how to do so many rituals. Even in our daily lives, we can come to the temple and it can turn into a ritual. I just do it because I have to, because it's expected of me. I can chant 16 rounds because I promised my guru, and so I struggle, you know, okay, just get them done so I can get on with other stuff that are more important. And all these activities that Srila Prabhupada has given us is to very deeply put us into the highest transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we can become proud, and we can mechanically go on through our daily activity. I've experienced it many times over the years that I've been here, where it becomes mechanical. And then you're forced. Krishna somehow forces you, either through the mercy of the devotees or just experiencing the miseries of the material world, that you're, oh no, I'm forgetting the real goal. I have to push on. I have to struggle. And I'm not struggling. What I'm doing is I'm coasting. I'm thinking that I can just easily coast through this life. And there's so many people that are struggling for such insignificant things in this material world. You have athletes that are practicing year after year after year, wrecking their bodies, pushing it to the top limit just so they can win a little gold medal. And then people forget about them in the coming years. So many people that are doing so many things in this material world, and they're doing it with such passion. They're doing it with such struggle. And we have the ultimate benefit in front of us of achieving love of God. If by devotee association, following our spiritual master's instructions, and really becoming passionate about Krishna consciousness. And you even see Prahlad Maharaj here. He's steeped in love of God, and so it pours out. So that he wants to tell everybody. He's telling his classmates. He's in ecstasy giving them Krishna consciousness. And so Srila Prabhupada has mercifully come as representative of Prahlad Maharaj and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. And we have so much mercy to take. By the senior Vaishnava's mercy, we're able to follow in their footsteps and also become passionate in devotional service and help each other. We're all here as a community. We're all here as one big family to help each other in devotional service. So stop there. Thank you for your kind attention. If anybody has any questions, comments, or corrections. Anthony Prabhu. So if you want a better explanation, there's 14 planetary systems, and they're split into lower planetary systems, middle planetary systems, and upper planetary systems. So the lower planetary systems, of which, the Patala Loka, Sutala Loka, they're known as the hellish planetary systems. The middle planetary systems is where Earth is located. And then the upper planetary systems are Svargaloka, where the demigods live. And then beyond that is Vaikuntha. So in each universe, there's different planetary systems. If you want a full description, you can go and research it in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it goes into a lot of detail. And also, I should point out that actually the Brahmins in the pastime, they were performing a yajna known as Angirasa, which means that they were wanting to go to the heavenly planetary systems. So that's another little detail. Amala Bhakta Prabhu. Okay. You can consult Amala Bhakta or the fifth canto. Thank you, Prabhu, for the correction. Is there anybody else? Mother Karuna? I think you can explain better than me, Mataji, here. I don't know, it's very interesting to... I mean, there's... I don't know if you could go into the psychology of it. And I mean, because everybody's performing a ritual. Even the materialists, they get up, they brush their teeth. They have their morning ritual of, taking coffee or, everybody has a certain ritual. And actually, when you look at it, rituals are very kind of private. You know, some rituals are community, but in our own lives, I think that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that he gave us congregational chanting. The Yuga Dharma isn't japa. It's not the ritual of sitting down and chanting. But the Yuga Dharma is chanting in a group. And it's, I think, even, when you look at other temples, they all chant their japa together. And you see brahmacharis that are fired up because they're together. Families are fired up because they're together in their rituals. And they push each other. And in Kali Yuga, it's stated that people are becoming lazy. And we want to be lazy. That's the material energy. We're constantly being afflicted by the three gunas, the modes of material nature, passion, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And so we're constantly fighting. And one guna is above the other, one guna is, below. And it's the nature that sometimes we're lazy with our rituals. But that's the mercy of being in the association of Vaishnavas, is to be inspired by them. And so if we're always in the association of the Vaishnavas, then we'll never want to be lazy because Prabhupada said part of devotional service is to be always enthusiastic, nectar of instruction. So that's our life, is to be enthusiastic. And we feed off of each other's enthusiasm. Do you have anything to add? Gokula Taruni, you had a question or comment? Mm-hmm. So the verse in Bhagavatam, Yatha Tora Mula Nishechanena, we water the root of the tree. And so specifically, there's a tendency of certain people in this world that they want to worship the demigods rather than just watering the root of the tree. So in regards to that, we're watering the root of the tree, Krishna. And Krishna, pleasing Krishna is pleasing his devotees. We can't please Krishna directly. Even in our own life, our mentality is that we want to please our guru. We want to please Srila Prabhupada. We want to please the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. And so we want to please our temple authorities. And then Krishna is pleased. So when Krishna is pleased through pleasing the devotees, then all the living entities are pleased. And I was just reading in Bhagavatam how proper pastime for this is that Durvasa Muni, when the Pandavas were exiled, Durvasa Muni was sent by Duryodhan to where the Pandavas were staying. And he came after Draupadi had eaten, because she had the pot that would keep making prasadam continuously until she ate. So Durvasa Muni with his 10,000 disciples, he has more disciples, or thousands and thousands of disciples, he came. And so Krishna, he appeared on the scene because Durvasa Muni, how are they going to feed all of them? They're in exile. And Durvasa Muni, he's an expansion of Lord Shiva. So he's easily pleased and he's easily angered. So they knew she already ate from the pot. We don't have enough food to please Durvasa Muni, so he's going to become angry and we're going to become cursed. So they said, just go bathe by a nearby pond and then we'll get your prasadam ready. And Krishna came and he said, is there anything left? And there was a small vegetable or grain. And Krishna ate that. And immediately, as Durvasa Muni and all of his thousands of disciples were in the bathing, they became so full that they couldn't even imagine eating anything. And they didn't want to go back and commit offenses to the Pandavas, so they left. And so in that pastime, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was pointing out how you please Krishna and all the living entities are pleased. You feed Krishna and all the living entities are pleased. And even in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada points this out as one of the six characteristics of pure devotional service is Shubhada. It's all auspicious. So when we perform devotional service, it's all auspicious for the entire world. We might think that we're just in Watsika and we're chanting our rounds and we're doing devotional service, distributing books here and there, distributing prasadam. We're not having a big impact. But the littlest thing that we're doing in devotional service, chanting our rounds, going to the morning program, associating with the Vaishnavas, it's affecting the whole world. It's affecting all the living entities. So thank you for, in your question, bringing out the essence of serving the devotees to please Krishna. If anybody has anything to add or correct. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.